Here we go. Here we go. Thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. As the saying goes, life's a beach. I'm Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I'm Harry Mack, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
And I'm Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
Also with us in spirit today is our sun-soaked super producer, Jason Daphnis, who you can find on Twitter at Nintendoofus. You can also keep up with the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod. Summer loving had me a blast. Summer loving happened so fast. I met a girl crazy for me. Met a boy, kids is spelled with a Z. Today we're here to talk about episode 80 of Hey Arnold. And for those of you keeping track at home, that's season 4, episode 20, Asada, going by production code order. This episode is called Summer Love, aka Beach Story, according to Wikipedia. Original air date, May 25th, 2000. The Wikipedia sanctioned episode summary is as follows. When Arnold, the Borders, and the Patakis go to the beach, a girl uses Arnold to win a sandcastle competition. Arnie gets buried in the sand. Miriam and Susie start taking dancing lessons from a handsome dance instructor named Carlos. Grandpa Phil thinks he is stuck on an island. Oscar starts using a metal detector to find quote-unquote treasure. Big Bob gets a bad sunburn. And Helga tries to warn Arnold that he is just being used by special guest star, as the Wikipedia notes indicate, Beverly Mitchell as the voice of Summer. And another special note, in case you weren't aware, this is the last episode of the fourth season going by production code order. And the folks who made this episode possible are as follows. Co-directors, we have Christine Kolosov and Frank Weiss, and we have Michelle Lamoureux and Joseph the Purdman Purdy co-writing this particular episode. Let's dive on in. Harry, we'll start with you. What did you think of Summer Love?
I think it makes sense that it was ghostwritten by Noah Baumbach, right? That's Beach Story. That was, I believe, that would make a lot more sense than what ended up happening here. What an episode to talk about, huh? This is an episode I genuinely don't remember being weird. I remember it being like I remember the plot. I remember the plot beats. I remember Summer. I remember Sandy, the boy. I remember it being kind of fun. I was fully prepared to show up to this episode of being like, oh, see, it's like a natural extension of the Helga-Arnold dynamic where Helga has to defend Arnold in his naivete. But now we see that she's maturing and taking a more active, conscious role and actually approaching him. And then we rewatched the episode and I was like, what is happening right now? What is going on? This is maybe one of the weirdest episodes of Hey Arnold, huh? Especially considering that this was their season finale. They were like, this is it. This is that heat that we're bringing down. How you don't end season 4 with Helga on the couch is like super beyond me. But basically, let's just start with like maybe the most obvious fact that Emily brought up or has brought up to her credit throughout this season. I think every time it's happened, this is yet another deceitful woman plot. Helga literally calls her deceitful and a bunch of other literally sort of very sexually toned phrases about how she is deceiving Arnold, taking advantage of him to win the sandcastle contest so she can be on Babe Watch. This is like the third or fourth time this has happened in the series. What's going on, guys? Just totally unnecessary, especially for a show that does female characters well. And again, for a show that is about 9-year-olds. Summer is like 16. I think that of all of the episodes that the writers clearly were maybe tired of writing episodes about 9-year-olds and just wanted to write a teen show, this is perhaps the most obvious because this is straight up like a weird sort of like sordid, like sexual misadventure, except that Arnold and Helga are 9 years old, which gives it a really weird sort of overtone. Just also in general, like, Summer has no personality except that she is, like, literally evil, as Helga literally describes her. I get that we're supposed to contrast her from Helga, but it sucks. It's misogynistic. This is straight up a misogynistic episode. Beyond that, it's wild how none of the B plots, and there are like 40 of them, hit for me either. Except with the exception of like Big Bob is really excited to go to the beach. He gets sunburned. He can't be on the beach. Meanwhile, Miriam, who's not excited to go to the beach, ends up having a great time. That one kind of worked for me, except that the reason why Miriam has a great time is because she is like euphemistically seduced by this dance instructor named Carlos, who is Latino and is like maybe kind of a racial caricature in and of himself. Also sucks, but just goes to show you that like even the best part of this episode is rough. There's an entire subplot about how grandma finds a nudist beach and becomes a nudist, and the sight of her old body is so disgusting to people that they run in horror from her. Again, what is even the joke there, guys? It's not funny. It's just kind of hateful. Like, maybe it was supposed to be funny to kids younger than the demographic of Hey Arnold? In which case, like, why is this episode also about how teenage women be deceitful? Mr. Wynn and Ernie are, like, trying to pick up chicks on the beach the entire episode, but then, like, Ernie has this plan to be buried up to his neck in sand, and then the recurring joke is that he gets hidden from Mr. Wynn when Mr. Wynn goes to get his camera. And so Ernie spends the entire episode like buried in sand. Again, not a particularly funny or compelling like B plot, not something that they needed to devote really any time to, because there wasn't even really a punchline, except again, a kind of hateful one where a fat guy sits on Ernie, and it's supposed to be hilarious to us that a fat person is on the beach and making life difficult for Ernie. And then, like, we can just wrap all this up with, like, Grandpa, who goes to fish by himself. The tide goes out. He gets stranded on, like, this little inlet, or so he thinks. It turns out he's not stranded, of course. He starts hallucinating. It's kind of funny. He keeps referring to himself as Grandpa in the first person. I kind of like that. And then two Rastafarian caricatures come and pick him up and even give him a hat, and he tries to talk like a Rasta guy at the end of the episode. So just like wanted to like just get two offensive racial caricatures in one episode, just two for the price of one. Well, we're being misogynistic. It's like they just wanted to get all of their like weird, horny, hateful energy out in one episode. I really don't know what to make of this one, especially the fact that it's a half hour long and that it's the season finale. Even the ending is weird, where like it's supposed to be cute and funny, and it kind of is, but like Helga and Arnold are on Babe Watch, which again, like, why would 2 9-year-olds, why would that be their fantasy to be on Babe Watch? Again, it's like one of these weird things where it's like, these are not adolescent characters. Why are we like prefiguring adolescence onto them? And then of course it ends with like Helga's doing CPR on Arnold after pushing the Barbie, as she calls her, out of the way. A little bit more internalized misogyny just to round us out right at the end of this episode. And then the director keeps calling cut, and Helga won't take her mouth off Arnold because she's making out with him, right? Haha, like, of course she would do that. I don't know. It's really a bizarre episode. Really sort of a, like, it's even hard to sort of like chalk it up to a data point. I guess like this is sort of like one of the darker manifestations of what we talked about last week with Dino Checks Out, where it's like there are episodes of television that would not get made today, for better and worse, right? This is one of the one that's kind of worse. It's like these guys were just like, we're just doing our thing. And like, where are we going to throw this one? It's like a long episode. Arnold goes to the beach. It's like a weird sort of prestige vacation episode. It's a beach episode. Like, I get doing a beach episode. I even like a lot of the animation here, right? I even like seeing them all in their beach clothes. I like that it's sort of like a ensemble comedy. Everybody is doing their own thing, and we get all these B plots. But it really can't be overstated how I think every single aspect of this misses. Like, top to bottom. I don't know. I don't think that it works at all. I think it's like a weird episode of Hey Arnold that just really misses a lot of what Hey Arnold is about. And like, maybe I would feel differently, or at least a little bit more favorably, if we weren't once again returning to the well of like a deceitful woman who is supposed to mislead Arnold. Like at this point in the series, it feels like Helga is like this weird, like, not like other girls, white knight who exists to save Arnold from being manipulated by women. And it's like, what is happening there? Like, how did we get so far afield from like this very like loving, wholesome, great idea that they had? And like, they turned it into like, actually Helga is like symbolic of how women suck, right? It's like, man, like that's not where you needed this to go or wanted it to go. And I'm sure that wasn't their intention, but I've been going off long enough. I want to hear what everybody else thinks as well. Do you think there's anything redeeming about this episode, I guess, or at least like maybe it's your turn to go off now too, Cody and Emily. Like, what was it about this episode that really like was wilding out to you?
Hey, great question. I'll let Emily answer that first. Emily, how did you feel about Summer Love?
Boy, yeah, I think Harry is right on the money with all of that. And I think part of why it feels so weird is because this entire show that we love so much is so empathy driven and has so much love for all the characters. You have so many dynamic characters with full backstories and complicated emotions and stuff that we really get to know so well throughout the series, and we're now at the end of season four. So to have this kind of end the season is just like, what in the hell is happening? Which is honestly what my thoughts were for the entire episode, was just like, what the fuck is happening? I have never seen this episode before either, as far as I know. I don't have any memory of it. Just the image of Summer, like when her hair is blowing, just the screenshot of it that's on Hulu, like looked familiar, but I really don't think I've ever seen this one unless it just kind of was in the background maybe at one point when I was a kid. But I also imagine this one didn't get much airtime if it was not well received. And as Harry mentions, has quite a few offensive caricatures in different ways, sexism, racism, all sorts of stuff, and weird sexual overtones for a kid's show kind of across the board. I want to just look through my notes, though, that are all over the place and can mostly be summed up with just what the hell is going on. But I think so Rocket Power had kicked off like right around the time this episode came out, like about a year before this episode came out. This one came out in what, May 2000, as you said, Cody. Rocket Power was like 99-ish at the end of, you know, so that was getting getting traction in the Nick universe, and I think they probably took that realm of
that is
cartoons.
Such a good point. Oh my god, this feels like a Rocket Power episode.
It's not even a Rocket Power episode because it's just like they took the beach and the surfing and the types of clothes they're wearing and like the language they're using, but then threw it into this really weird funnel where things are offensive and strange and don't land. I also think part of it is the pacing, because the energy of the episode is so chaotic. It's like so all over the place. And granted, I was eating, you know, Chex Mix while I was watching part of the episode. So I was munching, crunching, like I couldn't hear everything that was happening in the beginning of the episode. But nonetheless, I was like, I should have been able to follow it pretty well. And it was like, the scene would change so quickly from one to the next. It was just like all over the place. I felt like it was that Bop It game or something where it's like twist it, bop it, yoing, boing, choo, blah, wee woo. Boy, yo, 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 yoing, honestly, also is the energy of the episode. So, yeah, extremely horny for kids, very adult, very mature, very much aging up the characters, as we've seen in a few episodes this season and we've talked about in the on the pod. But yeah, Babe Watch and all of it, even within the first like 3 minutes of the episode in the watch party, we were saying like this is the horniest episode of the entire season already, or the entire series already. Like, this feels like something that's so far removed, I think, from the show. And I think part of it too is like the characters, you only get the tiniest, smallest moments between any given one, any given character that you're like, is this Miriam? Is this Ernie? Like, it, you just have like a, the smallest moment. So I think just none of it was landing for me. And I think the writers probably just, you know, if they were drunk, maybe they were drunk, maybe they weren't drunk. Maybe they were just having fun and watching Rock of Power and surfing movies and just wanted to go crazy with this one. But they really went crazy with this one. Like, it's just frantic energy. I was writing down too that when Helga talks to Arnold, she's like yelling at him about Summer, how Summer's plotting against him. She's like, he's out the window and she's yelling up to him from the ground, just the way she's frantically trying to tell him about this manipulative woman is the energy that the episode has, basically, is what I wanted to say. So it's like that frantic chaoticness is the entire thing. So I guess if it slowed down for a second and we had, you know, more of a the beach montage, like with the beach theme and the sandcastle competition, like I thought that was enjoyable at the very end. If there was just a little more time to breathe, I'm like out of breath just talking about this episode. But yeah, to wait and way too aged up for the kiddos, just in a way where you're like, I don't know what to think of this and I don't know who this is for exactly. Maybe this is for the kids who had grown up and were older now, maybe the kids in high school, or the parents watching. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I wonder what you think of it, Cody. But yeah, cowabunga. My goodness.
Yeah, cowabunga, woogity woogity woogity. Yeah, no, I was thinking it'd be funny if I was like, this is my favorite episode of the season, but I wouldn't do that to y'all. I'm in a similar camp, and like starting point, the phrase data point has already been invoked, and like even I stand by, you know, this is worthy of a watch, even if it's just the one time, you know, if you're somebody, you know, browsing through Hulu or wherever your box set of DVDs of Hey Arnold, if you happen to be like a few of us here, because if anything else, it reaffirms the things that I think most people love about Hey Arnold. And there are a lot of like antitheses to those things found in this particular episode. So that is valuable in its own right. Even if it doesn't necessarily make for a pleasant, or as pleasant of an experience in the moment. But, yeah, the two sorts of things I came around to while watching that both of you, I think, are articulated pretty well already, but just the two, and they're not like the only issues with this episode, but the sort of, you know, at the root, this episode is very bloated. It does feel like an, kind of what we talked about recently in previous episodes, a sort of catch all for writers who all had, you know, ideas for story, like subplots of characters. If we were to set them, you know, send them to a beach and just like, we're going to put them all on you know, the same episode. And on paper, even though I ran out of breath reading the episode description, on paper it does make for, you know, everybody's getting into shenanigans, maybe that would be fun, but it is ultimately very, very bloated. It creates a lot of whiplash as you're going from different thing to different thing. And then the other thing is, as a sort of like litmus test for I guess like the vibes and energy of this episode, Arnold going past himbo status, as we have invoked in previous episodes, and just going straight to almost a level of ignorance as Helga is, you know, trying to communicate when she's communicating with Arnold, and, you know, correct me if I seem off base, she comes across more sincere to him in dialogue. Like, I don't know about more than any other time, but like more sincere than more, like most often, from the times thinking back to like when we've seen her interacting with Arnold, where she's trying to communicate something real. And Arnold, as, you know, for as a perceptive of a person, and, you know, as, you know, as much credit as we might, and other characters on the show might want to give him credit for like, you know, really, you know, knowing people, just that completely flew by him. It trends towards this like litmus test for hatefulness that was like, and it's not just with him, it's something that spread out throughout the entirety of this of this episode. And I think, Emily, as you were saying, this is actually, I think as both of you were saying, like, that it makes for, you know, a suboptimal energy for, you know, an energy that we don't typically come to expect or cherish from the show. And not to say that we could get through all of the subplots without those things, the sort of, you know, rushed, you know, the rushed cadence, the bloatedness, and the, you know, the hatefulness that's sort of permeating in the background. Not to say that the summer, you know, the person, not the season, the summer subplot, the, you know, grandma going to a nude beach corner of the area, Rasta grandpa, all of the farting sound effects, which I will always defend. I just figured I'd toss that on the pile because there were so many damn farts. Not to say that all of those things would necessarily go down easily without those things, but they certainly don't feel better because of those things. And, you know, if it wasn't the whiplash effect of going from thing to thing and having those things be those types of things that I just listed off where, you know, oh, this beat is a little, you know, it's a little hateful. It's a little, hateful of women, et cetera, and so on and so forth. You know, even the people that I wanted to see do things in this episode more than probably, and I guess the people who get the least amount of screen time, if we want to call it that, Miriam and Susie, like the fact that their subplot was relegated to them meeting, you know, a character, Carlos, who doesn't come across as anything more than just a character. If that was made into its own episode, then maybe Carlos could be a character with a rich interiority and motivations.
Also, the most excited I was for the entire episode is when Miriam sits down next to Susie. I was like, oh my God, this is the crossover event of the century. Like, that is a conceit for an episode. And then it they immediately turn it into, what if they were seduced by a racial caricature?
Right, exactly. And you know, again, not to say, and I guess ultimately I am sliding back into the thing that we do from time to time when we come across a challenging episode, and that's armchair director, but it was sort of a perfect storm of elements that wouldn't necessarily feel great on their own, and they definitely don't feel great when they're sort of jumbled up together here. But, you know, if we're able to and feel up to it, it would be cool to, you know, highlight some of the things that did work. The beach trips will be the one thing that I'll call out. Ernie and Mr. Wynn especially look great on the beach. Mr. Wynn, you know, bringing the arms out, you know, the guns out to play, and he's got his, I think I saw some pecs. They drew in some pecs for Mr. Wynn. Ernie with the suspenders, they both got these fly hats on. Just like really, really great. Would have loved to see Ernie not in the sand for the whole episode, but you know, you can't have anything or everything. You can't have everything. You certainly can't have anything in this episode, it feels like, from time to time. But yeah, I don't know. I'm also just kind of tumbling into a lot of words. I don't know. It's a hard episode to like. Valuable, again, reaffirming the types of things that we do like about the show. I don't know, Harry, where do we go from here?
I have a lot to say. You said a lot of really good things, so I appreciate it. First of all, your first point, which is that this is a weirdly essential episode. I think I agree. I think we've talked a lot this season about sort of like strains or sort of like meta plots in the Hey Arnold like writer's room coming to fruition. I think that this episode kind of represents the apex of a trend we've seen, especially throughout season four. And like, again, I don't, like, I'm only speculating here, but like, you really kind of get the sense that the writers were getting frustrated with the limitations of writing about fourth graders, right? Because we watched that happen again and again this season, where like, oftentimes they would just ignore the character's age in favor of doing like aged up plot lines. So I wonder if these writers were just sort of like, they really wanted like a broader or older conceit to play with. And I think that kind of culminates here, where we get an episode that, again, like, I hate to say this because I feel like it's kind of nothing burger criticism, but like, just does not feel like a Hey Arnold episode, right? Like, it feels like it's, like you said, like closer to Rocket Power, but not even that. It just like, it feels like dispatches from a different show, like a different, worse, maybe Cartoon Network, not to throw too much shade, but show that like, I think that it's important to watch because it's sort of like, in you know, like, obviously I feel extremely positively about the show overall, but like, I think that, like, from a sort of like Hey Arnold historian perspective, it's really important to watch these misses and like understand what they represent and where they came from, because like, I definitely think that like, this is sort of like the ugliest manifestation of a bunch of trends we've been tracking, right? Like the misogynist trend, the sort of trend where they're not really capturing what Hey Arnold is about because they are sort of frustrated with its limitations, perhaps. So I think that like, this is maybe, unfortunately, and like, it's oddly appropriate that it's the season four finale where we saw a lot of these things start to happen, right? But it is sort of like, now we have like a pretty good template. Like, I think we've had so many examples of like, what happens when like, Hey Arnold does everything exactly right, right? And we get things like Helga on the Couch, or we get things like Little Pink Book, or Helga's Love Potion, or Arnold's Christmas, episodes like those. Now we have one that's sort of like, hey, like, what happens when Hey Arnold leans into like its worst impulses, right? Like it's not a perfect show. We already knew that. It's a great show. But like, what happens when like, what's the worst sort of manifestation of its demons? And I think it's probably this episode. You also talked about Armchair Director. I'm really glad you brought that up. Even from a plot perspective, this episode drives me absolutely crazy. It turns on three separate occasions of people eavesdropping and overhearing recitations of evil plans. Our first, Arnold and Summer overhear Helga talking to herself about how she has been thwarting their attempts to get together. And then Helga overhears Summer talking about her evil plan with her boyfriend. And then Helga has Arnold overhear Summer talking about her evil plan again. And it's like, okay, guys, like, what's happening here? My biggest problem is at the second act, when Helga, instead of like learning that stalking Arnold around and trying to get in the way of him like having a relationship with another girl is bad, she literally says the line, but all that's okay now because it turns out that Summer is evil. Like, and again, if we're playing Armchair Director, like, what happens if Summer isn't evil? Like, what if Arnold just has a genuine connection with another girl? And like, what is Helga supposed to do about that? And how does that make her like think about her feelings, or maybe like put a timer on sort of like her like confession or something, right? It's like, that's an actually psychologically interesting episode to me. And like, maybe it forces both of them to confront this sort of weird relationship they have. Instead, they like really default hard back to the status quo, right? By sort of just making Summer this evil caricature instead of something real. So that really bothered me. What I will say is that I was prepared to like this episode a lot, because I like the conceit a lot. Even a ton, I would say. It's some of my favorite episodes of favorite TV shows ever are like literally beach episodes, where it's just like, hey, like, what if all these guys went to a beach and they just like all did beach things? You know, it's like, I love anime. So like, you're not going to catch me disparaging beach episodes, or like, you know, Avatar: The Last Airbender, the beach, great episode, classic episode. It's the best classic emo episode. This just was not it, huh? Just like, super wasn't it. So that's my nice thing to say about this episode, is conceptually, I think that they had an idea. I think that they just really botched the execution, I think, which is also wild because like, these are like all-star writers. Like, the Purd Man was on here. Like, he's written a lot of the episodes that are in the opposite camp, where it's like, oh yeah, this is a guy who like understands Hey Arnold so intimately that he's just crushing it, like hitting homers, you know? But hey, everybody misses sometimes, I guess.
And Michelle Lamoureux, who's also been crushing it otherwise. But yeah, this episode of Arnold is quality-wise more akin to Babe Watch quality, I would say. Or what we see Babe Watch maybe is quality-wise in the episode. You know what I mean. I think, Harry, to your point, it's just this episode struggles so much because we don't learn anything about any of the characters. There's like nothing new to learn about them. It's like, hey, let's throw them at the beach and see what happens and see what wild shenanigans they get into. But we don't learn a single thing from any of them. And I honestly think the Summer plot is just kind of like not even, I think it's kind of bad. I think I don't care about Summer. I think I don't care about the plot. I think there's not much for me to even really feel that invested in it because of how chaotic it is and how like pulled in every direction I feel when we're watching it. There would be a moment where it's like something's happening, characters talking to someone for a second, and we're already now a second later at another scene with Big Bob, and then a second later it's going to cut again back to something else, and it's like I can't even keep up with how many things they wanted to do in it. And again, I don't feel that the characters were learning from each other necessarily. And I don't care about Summer. I don't even care what she's up to. I don't give a shit about what her and her boyfriend are trying to win. I feel just like, pulled in too many directions and just overwhelmed, I guess, by what all is happening in the episode. And which is even more the point of it being a special episode. It's so long to be pulled in every direction like that and not be quite sure of what you're supposed to get from it or what you're learning or if the character is learning, or there are no lessons really in this one. Not that there has to be, but that is obviously a big part of the series, and empathy and everything. So it feels like, kind of turns its back a bit to the series, I think. And I really think, I just wanted to say this too, because I think we were saying it I mentioned in our side chat, but they really did Grandma and Grandpa dirty in this episode, especially like the way Grandma is portrayed and everyone's disgusted.
I hated that so much that absolutely made my skin crawl.
The animation of her like, oh, let me take my dress off, and then cut to everyone screaming on the beach. It's like, oh my God, even Grandpa, they have him say something cruel about Grandma's and her body. Whatever. It was strange. Too many body parts, too many boy-oy-oy-oy-oying sound effects, just inappropriate, like wildly inappropriate for the age and the series and the season too, even. I mean, I think, Harry, I understand what you're saying with the season, it feeling more in line with season 4 than the first three, especially the strong, really, really strong golden seasons of the show. But, gosh, I thought I was maybe going to say something positive, and now I'm scrambling. But I do want to say, Harry, I love you saying, as a Hey Arnold historian, it's important to watch the misses. I think that's a beautiful point, and it is good to be able to talk about these ones, even if they kind of hurt to watch.
Yeah. Hey, from a coaching perspective, one of the main points that we hit on and I try to reaffirm is, you know, you learn more from losses than you do from wins. Not to say that having an episode like Helga on the Couch is bad. Having a ringer like that in your back pocket is obviously optimal for all of us, whether that's a literal episode of television or, you know, a symbolic, you know, ace episode of television. But I really like kind of what the two of you and I guess what the two of you sort of ramped up to, and it adds another wrinkle to, I guess, why this episode didn't work from my perspective. And like, and maybe it's my and our Midwestern, not bias, but just like we're coming at this from a different perspective, and we watch the great beach episodes from, like, you know, all the beach episodes from SpongeBob. We watch a show like Rocket Power, and like those are, you know, the beach is like a safe haven, right? Like everybody goes, and like, sure, you might rip your pants once in a while in the case of SpongeBob, but like you do learn something from it. You spend the whole dang episode learning about, you know, hey, it happens, you know, and everybody has those sort of loser moments, and we can be losers together. And hey, we're at the beach. It's great. You know, like it could be worse. We're at the beach, but these are our heroes. And you know, not so heroes. We don't love all these characters. We love all these characters, but some of them are just like Oscar. Oh, Oscar has to come to the beach. Great. But like they go to the beach and it doesn't feel like a safe haven. Very like not everybody is having fun, and things are coming back against them in ways that just don't, like, they don't feel good. Even somebody like Grandma, who is going to the beach and ultimately maybe living her best life, there is that, you know, hateful sensibility of like, oh shit, like she's you know, she's not wearing any clothes, and that is the most disgusting thing that these people have ever seen. You know, it's like you were talking about the reactions, but like, you know, Ernie didn't do anything wrong, and he got buried in the sand for a day, and you know, he came out of that with a full bladder. Nobody wants that for Ernie. Grandpa, like, he, like, I don't, unless I'm remembering something, but like, they came into this trip with the best of intentions, the highest of ambitions, and they like made Grandpa have sunstroke. Just why that's not, I don't know. Maybe this does just happen to the,
no, that's a really good point. Why are these characters being punished? So many of these characters are punished by the beach very specifically. And it's like Grandpa, because he didn't want to like hang out with the boarders, I guess. And like Ernie and Mr. Wynn, maybe because they wanted to pick up women, but it is like, what about the beach is this sort of like purgatorial sort of like space where it's like, oh, we have to purge these people of their imperfections by hurting them. It's like, what a weird idea.
Right. The one case, and this is, it's not, you know, it's a high mark relative for this episode. And it's, you know, you love seeing Big Bob get his just desserts, but he is a character who he's driving his family to the beach, and Big Bob has, you know, a longstanding, canonical history of being a butthead. You know, he's not a good father. He's not a good husband. He's not a good person. He's a good businessman. He's a good capitalist, but you know, that's, you know, again, that's things that you don't necessarily want to be in the best of circumstances. But you know, he's neglectful of his wife and his family in general, and kind of within the scope of this episode, he has sort of, you know, a certain single-mindedness when going to the beach. And he just wants to do water sports with, which, you know, hey, you know, respect, you know, a water athlete, it whomst among us, right? Et cetera, et cetera. And he gets relegated to, you know, I'm trying to think back. He got sunburned in a chair, and then he went indoors. And so like he got, you know, relegated to furniture. And you know what? Cosmic justice for a character who, is great because he sucks, but he sucks. I'm a Big Bob defender only in that he serves a very specific purpose, because he's a foil to a lot of characters who are great people, and Big Bob is not a great person. The further characterizing his cruddiness by, again, all of those fart sound effects, which is the one sort of weird, like, kind of unhinged choice of this episode where I'm like, okay, because it's Big Bob and because he sucks, and you know how we know he sucks? He's just farting everywhere because he's a big turd, isn't it? This episode has broken me. I think that's a high mark for this episode personally. That's my favorite part is how Big Bob got owned. Shout outs to that component specifically. Emily?
Yeah, Big Bob and the writers really ripped their pants on this one, didn't they? Guys?
Cha-ching.
I liked your SpongeBob point, and I wanted to pull up the lyrics. Just thinking of it from the writer's perspective. I thought I had everybody on my side, but I went and blew it all sky high. And now she won't even spare a passing glance, all just because I ripped my pants. Anyway, go watch that episode. I might put it on.
Really
after
good
this
point. This is like, that's like such a good example of a beach episode that completely works, right? Like,
brush,
that's a great episode.
A breath of fresh air, or whatever you said the other week, Harry. My one shout out or one other positive thing I had thought of though to say is that I am sort of with Miriam at the beginning of this episode when she's there in the car driving to the beach, and she's like, the beach, I don't know. It's just like sand everywhere. It's so hot. What are you supposed to do even? I think going to the beach is fun maybe once a summer or something like that. I'm not a big beach girl, but yeah, I'm with Miriam on this one, which is, I guess, rare for me. But shout out to Miriam. Harry, what were you gonna say?
I was also gonna shout out Miriam. Actually, she looks great after she starts taking the dance lessons again and she gets tan. I mean, she's looking awesome. She's happy finally. I love to see a happy, active Miriam. You just love to see Miriam win, you know? So shout outs to Miriam. The one B plot that did kind of work for me high points wise, I did think that it was a very funny joke that Oscar is obsessed with finding buried treasure, goes to a metal detecting shop. The guy says, for $9.99, you get to keep everything you want or you find. And he goes, I can keep everything I find. And then it just cuts to him on the beach, like magnating up people's jewelry and stuff, like literally just like bald faced robbing people on the beach. It's sort of a weird joke to make because it's like, oh, Oscar is not just sort of like this deadbeat coward. He's like, this is a literal criminal. But like as a joke, I found it pretty funny. Like just the idea that like he almost like has like this SpongeBob reaction again where he's like, I get to keep anything I want. And like that's pretty funny. So I like that. I like the weird William Shatner cop who's like, I just like the way that the cop talks like William Shatner. I don't like the cop himself, obviously. But then I like that he and Ernie or Oscar and Ernie are apparently both heroes at the end of this episode because Oscar found Ernie and Ernie was found, quote, like question mark. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. Final shout out. I really like that. In the Wikipedia, the Arnold Wiki for this, there's a cultural reference that says lyrics to the Hall and Oates song Man Eater is referenced by Helga when she shouts to Arnold, she's a man eater. I don't know about that one, Wiki writers. I don't know if Hall and Oates invented the phrase man eater. I mean, I like the Hall and Oates song Man Eater very much. I quite enjoy that song. Hall and Oates, another group who's like, unfortunately, their best songs are also usually their most misogynistic songs. But
Hall & Oates come on the pod.
Hall & Oates come on the pod. Honestly, I would love to talk to those guys. They're very talented. So shout outs to the Wiki thinking that Hall & Oates invented Maneater and not that it's just sort of like a mean misogynistic thing that Helga says. So briefly made me wish that I was watching a better episode once more, one that maybe included Hall & Oates as guest characters or something. Anyway, that's all I've got to say about this episode, Beach Story, directed by Noah Baumbach.
Baumbach with the bummer. We all know Hall & Oates didn't invent the term man-eater because that was Nelly Furtado that did that. The upswing of this though, or the upshot, rather, whatever of those terms is correct transparently, I'm not sure. Maybe they're both right. It's been a long day. But if you want more good, beach energy, check out, Monsieur Hulot's Holiday, a movie that, Harry cited a bit ago. It is from French director Jacques Tati. A lot of fun beach hijinks, a lot of good physical kind of bits and I guess physical humor, a lot of good physical humor, a lot of good beach landscapes. Check that out. It's black and white and it's a French movie, but you know what? Broaden your horizons. It's, you know, give it a try. It's good stuff. I know it's probably not necessarily on everybody's, it's off the beaten track a little bit, as is Eric Romare's A Summer's Tale.
I knew this was coming. Let's shout it out.
It's less so into the, youthful, carefree beach hijinks that a SpongeBob or a Rocket Power or a Monsieur Hulot's Holiday might put forth. It is from French director Eric Romare. As we said, it's from the year 1996. It's about a guy fresh out of college grappling with sort of the next stage of his life and his feelings for three different women. And that's like, that is the movie. It's 100 minutes of, a bunch of attractive people just trying to figure things out. And hey, they're in France and they're on a beach. What more do you want? What more is there to life? So check those out. A Summer's Tale is not, last I checked, not streaming anywhere. If you're like me and you have a Blu-ray player and DVD player that play things from all the regions, you can pick up the Eric Romare Four Seasons Quadrilogy box set, as I bought myself for Christmas this year, four all-time great movies. And it's one for each season. So when, you know, winter is here, there's a very bleak movie about the winter as well. People trying to figure things out all times of the year. It's great.
Did Eric Romare sponsor this podcast? Is he coming on the pod?
Yeah, Eric Romare and Squarespace. We'll do ad reads at the end.
Cool.
Yeah, you had something, Harry?
Yeah, just not to be outdone, I'm going to give you two of my favorite beach recommendations now. You got to watch Point Break. If you haven't seen Point Break, what are you doing? They're young, dumb, and full of a word that I can't say on this podcast. Check that out. I like it very much. Also, another great uplifting beach episode, our beach movie, is Hirokazu Koreeda's Shoplifters. Really great beach scene in that movie, and a perfect sort of like light, happy, fun family romp on the beach. So enjoy both of those movies. That's what I got.
And lastly, don't forget to check out the French art house film SpongeBob SquarePants, as well as Rocket Power. Those are two, again, French art house films. Be sure to give them a watch.
Oops. There we go. My finger trickled over. I got sand in my mute button, and I just wanted to say, Monsieur SpongeBob SquarePants. I think we've gone on long enough. That was the beach episode. That was the season 4 finale. Next week, we'll have a whole bunch more thoughts about this season and the entire series kind of up to this point before we launch off into the 5th and final season of Hey Arnold. This is going to feel weird, and we're just going to compartmentalize those feelings until we have to feel them. That's what healthy grownups do. So take a cue from us. In the meantime, we just want to say, dear listener, thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod, and that's kids with a Z. This episode was produced by super producer Jason Daphnis, and you can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. I've been Cody Narvison. You can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I've been Harry Mack, and you can find me not thinking about the end of this podcast on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
And I've been Emily Sui. You can find me not at the beach.
That's it. Alley-oop!